Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanon. It's getting better. Today's episode, you know, this podcast is recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, March 9th, 2025. That's right. The same March 9th that the greatest of all time died on. This podcast is rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck White as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. I need to give a shout out to... Man, I don't know why I complicate these things, but yo, I want you listeners, people paying it to who can hear me, who can hear the sound of my voice through this microphone device, I would like for you to stand up and applaud yourself. Applaud your beautiful selves. Do that for me. Because you're here. And we also want to acknowledge all you first-time listeners. Even if you're here by mistakes, I acknowledge you, and my hope is through some miracle, or for whatever happens, my hope is that I say something at some point that resonates and causes us to make history. Yay! That was a little loud, wasn't it? Okay. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. In today's episode, which I think I'm going to title, well, it's going to be 247 for sure, but I think I'm going to go with the title 247. I'd like to stay that way.
God
damn it. Fixing the spelling mistake on my notes here. All right. I try to picture myself in this. Yeah, in this today's episode, it's an idea I had. Is I'm trying to imagine the conversation I would have with my younger self, my less enlightened self, about female energy, female power. No, excuse me, feminine power, feminine power, and I'll elaborate when we get to the feature thought section. Before I do that, I will... did I explain myself? Yeah, okay. Yeah, before I do that, we'll share some quotes. It's a bit of randomness, all right? All right, let's go. First quote. Take risks. So I'm going to recite this while thinking about my fears of my nervousness, of my weariness about putting content on TikTok. And it goes, take risks. If you win, you will be happy. If you lose, you will be wiser. I'm thinking of that George Michael song, Teacher, there are some things I don't want to learn. Okay, I fucked up the song, but the point is, yeah, teacher, there are some things I don't want to learn. But, yeah, not to contradict the quote. Next quote goes, consistency is harder when no one is clapping for you. You must clap for yourself during those times. You should always be your biggest fan. Yeah, feel free to use that sound effect, right? Then I'm trying to get myself into the habit of being my biggest fan. It's not easy. A lot of self-hatred to get through. Last quote, and this one is from First Lady Michelle Obama. You thought I was going to say Melania, weren't you? No, and it goes, no country can ever truly flourish if it stifles the potential of its women and deprives itself of the contribution of half its citizen, Michelle Obama. And I guess I'll throw in a happy international, Happy belated International Women's Day. We at Shut Up Podcast acknowledge the fully recognize International Women's Day. That and my birthday. Yeah, okay. So this is it for quotes. Make sure, okay, that's who. All right, let's get into some randomness. All right, let's do this. I just put that there for some sound effect. All right, okay, let's start with fuck daylight savings times. Now, I know I've already said fuck Whitey, but fuck Whitey's on the top. Fuck the daylight savings time is a lot lower. It's like red light. It's annoying. I'm just annoyed at the fact that it's already 9:29 p.m. when it should be 8:29. I really hate losing that 1 hour. And you know what's wild is usually when I was back in the old days, I would when I was younger, I would daylight savings time was just signs that spring is close, and that would excite me. Problem these days is that spring is means summer, and summer means loud ass AC units. And not getting good sleep because it's too hot. I usually like the summer. That's my point. I usually like spring, but yeah, I don't know. I'm getting older. That's what happens, kids. Change. So much for not coughing on this episode. All right. Next item. Hey, so I went to go see Captain America. Shout out to my man. I got to come up with a nickname for him. I'm going to call him K, Special K, because I don't use government names on this podcast of people I know. Yeah, Special K, he's a Marvel fan. He's got his own, it's not a podcast, but he puts out content on, oh my God, puts out, he works at a grocery store that I go to. But every time we cross each other, I should mention a black dude, and you know, we kick it, we talk, we just talk, you know, we kick it a bit, and one thing I appreciate is how he's a big, huge Marvel fan, so he's always like, yo, you see this movie? You see this latest one? Anyways, long story short, I credit him for pushing me to go see Captain America, even though I got beef with the United States. And in theaters, because I could have seen it in the comfort of my home, but I went to go see it in theaters. And he pulled the black card on me. He goes, "Wait, hold!" He goes, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa! You didn't see Captain America during Black History Month?" And I said, "Whoa, whoa! Before you minus my black card, I'll go see it." And whatever, I committed, and I went to go see it. One comment I will make is, IMDb is full of shit. Now, let me look this up, see if it's changed ever since I went to go see it. Captain America, Brave New World. Yeah, there's a lot of white kids who read, right. Oh, 6 out of 10. It was 6.1 yesterday. 6 out of 10. 48%. Wow, man. The people who gave it that rating, but, okay, two things I'm going to bring up. One, when I went there, after seeing that rating, I expected an empty theater. It was packed. How long has it been out? Anyway, whatever. The theater was packed. And I watched it. Now, there were moments where I was like, I had to remind myself, this is a comic book superhero movies. And the target audience are freaking kids. Because the special effect was dope, the actions and everything, but I had to remind myself. I think what the thing that I won't say cheered me up, but they I love the reminder is how there were kids in the with their parents in the theater. One kid wouldn't shut the fuck up towards the end, but that's not the point. But I remember watching the kids leave and reminding myself this movie was for them. Now, I say this because I did have my moments where I was like, well, fuck, okay, this movie sucks. But it was more because, it's not the movie that sucked. It was more because I remember walking in and like, oh, wait a minute, Captain America, the United States are the good guys? I couldn't because of that title, because of the word Captain in America, in the we're together, I couldn't get myself to immerse myself in this movie and forget reality. I kept thinking of Donald Trump. I kept thinking of current events. Donald Trump. I'm like, yeah, like the pro, like the American president would fucking would do that shit. Yeah, right. And I kept thinking about all these propaganda, I'm going to call them propaganda movies that I watched since as a child, and they always painted the United States as the good guys and their leader and their president as a man of integrity, excuse me, a man of integrity and good character. And that reality just made, like, like I felt like yelling, hey, man, I thought we were boycotting these motherfuckers. But whatever, whatever, man. The theater was packed and people enjoyed the movie and whatnot. The other thing, too, is my older self is still pissed at this. Like, I'm still going through this phase of, because of what's going on in the States, of I'm this idealist of, you know, okay, I'm going to bring up a conversation I had with my mom, and I'm going to, you know what's at the core of my, I don't know if I want to use the word hatred, but what bothers me the most about Donald Trump, at the very core, like there's, I can list a long list, but at the very core, and it's my mom who made me realize this as a conversation with her. She's like, what the fuck is up? We're just, I'm paraphrasing. We said, what the fuck is up with this dude? You can't be behaving like that in a developed country. You can't be that kind of leader. And I think that's what I'm realizing is the idea of, maybe it's my brain constantly looking at this guy and being like, what the fuck? It's kind of like, it would be kind of like meaning Musk for real time, right? And you realize, yo, this dude is dumber than you. He's like lazier than you. Basically, you look at all his traits and you look at him like, what the, how the fuck did you? It's realizing that you ain't special. You ain't better than me. You ain't nothing great. I spent my entire time believing that because I'm poor because I suck. And you're rich because you have all these great talents. It's like looking at Trump behaving sometimes even worse than leaders in underdeveloped countries. And it's like, how the fuck? Look, black people, have you ever had a moment where you're like, you look at a white person and you're confused, like, how the fuck that this asshole, these people put us in slave ship? Like, it's just, anyway, sorry, I'm getting off topic here. It's the point I was trying to make, because of current events, it made it difficult for me to embrace the idea of a Captain America, Captain whatever, yeah, anything, the word America in there, you lose me. And then you got, there's a character in there, and I'm realizing that, you know, I'm not going to bring up, I was going to say, yeah, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but, yeah, anyways, yeah, seeing those kids reminded me of, yeah, it's like, I'm at the age where I can't get my imagination to spread like it used to embrace. It bothered me, but whatever, man. But overall, I wouldn't say, you know, no. The movie was like, based on everything that I've seen from Marvel, it was a decent movie. Everyone gives you the same response. It was not a bad movie. It was, yo, that's 6 out of 10. Yo, that's, fuck. That's either racism, that's either, no. The way I wrote it is, the one that I shared on social media, thought that I put it, I said, the people who didn't enjoy Captain America forgot that it was a comic book movie. And you're supposed to go in there with your mind open. It's like shitting on an action movie and being like, well, there's no way the dude would have ran out of bullets by then. You fucking idiot. It's an action movie. You're supposed to be able to survive an explosion and shit like that. Yeah, man. It's anyways, yeah. Captain movie was worth checking out. I'm glad I went to go see it in theaters, and I give props to Special K for guilting me, for threatening my black card. to go. Since I'm already talking about politics, I'm going to, did I really not make a note? Oh shit, I didn't put his name in there. I forgot to put this. Yeah, so where's my notes? Hold on. Okay. So apparently Mark Carney is the new liberal leader replacing Justin Trudeau. Dun, 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 dun. No, I'm not mad at it. I'm like, okay, all right. So a little stability in the Liberal Party. I don't know how to feel. I mean, anything that keeps Pierre Poilievre out of the White House, out of the Parliament. I mean, as Prime Minister works for me. But it just had me thinking about how I have no idea who this guy is. And what's worse, goddamn Canada, man. That's Canadian politics for you. It's usually boring. I have no idea who he is. Apparently, he's a banker. And we're all riding on this dude. Like, I'm not going to use the time. Because, like I said, it's kind of late. I'm pissed off because of daylight service time. But I'm glad what's her name didn't win. Chrystia Freeland. How do I say her name? Yeah, Chrystia Freeland. Yeah, only because I didn't have any strong opinion against her until I saw her do an interview with Bill Maher and learned that she's a centrist and some bullshit and whatever, man. Going on Bill Maher was not a good look. It tells me you need to learn about, you got some self-awareness. It tells me the vote you think you're trying to get, you're not going to get them. Like the people who watch Bill Maher, yeah, they're not failing you, sister. But whatever. And then, the other folks who ran, I don't know, her name was, is it Karina? Whatever, I'm not going to talk a lot about politics. Okay, my only point is this, man. I don't know who this dude is, but if he wins, that's all that matters. But I am reflecting on the fact that I can't help but think how Canada is going behind this guy because, I don't know, one, he got the endorsement from Trudeau, I imagine, or what the, I don't know. I don't know how exactly we all said, that's our guy. But I do know the fact that he was white and a man helped a fucking lot against this Trump threat. I'm thinking about after 9/11 and how George Bush claimed to fame saying, I remember he was in New York and someone was talking, he goes, I think he said his famous, he goes, I can hear you. And the motherfuckers who did this to these towers are gonna hear us. Oh, man. USA! USA! Even I was like, USA! USA! But it's like time and a moment. It's like no one wanted to hear after 9/11, okay, we're gonna turn the other cheek. We're gonna do some assessments and blah, blah, blah. Nah, nigga, blow someone up. That's what they wanted to hear. Wait, hold on. No, we may have been responsible for these towers. Hold on. Our foreign policy. Nah, fuck that. I say this because Trump shows up and he's a threat. He imposes a threat. And everyone is freaking out. Okay. Some of us in Canada are freaking out. Okay. To those of you who aren't, tough guys. Tough gals. Good for you. But I do know that when the threat of Trump showed up, everyone rallied against this one white guy. Like, God forbid the liberal said, yeah, you know what? We're going to let this Punjabi homie, I go Punjabi, Indian, whatever. We're going to let this, we're going to give a shot to this woman. I'm just trying to say that the fact he was a white male helped a lot. And I want to be clear. I'm not speaking against it. Don't get me wrong. No, fuck that. As long as we win, that's what counts. I'm just thinking about what exactly reassures me so much about this dude. And if I'm honest, because he's a white man and he looks like he knows what the fuck's going on. To be honest with you, I didn't do any research. I just, like, when I saw that he won, I was like, okay, good. Yo, this dude won 85%. But when I think about it, my only motivation, the only thing that gives me credibility, is he's a white dude. Tell me I'm fucking lying, man. I didn't hear any interview. I heard one interview, part of an interview with The Daily Show, and he was saying some fuck shit. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. All that matters to me is that he wins. You know, it says a lot. Yeah. Okay, let me put it this way. If it was another white guy and talking some, well, if I get in there, talking like Pierre Poilievre, yeah, fuck of that. If it was another white guy talking about, like, well, when I get in, I'm going to have a consensus with Trump. Nah, fuck that. I need someone who can punch back. I don't know. Just think about it, man. Just think about, who is this guy? God forbid. And I'm hoping he doesn't have any. It's gonna suck. He's got like skeleton in his closet. Like, I don't mind. I can handle. You know. Oh, he used to be in the Klan. Oh well, whatever. Next time we should. Wait, he killed a black kid. Ooh. Like, at what point am I going to be like, ah, man. Oh, you know what it is? No. You know what the worst thing can happen? Is later finding out that Trump orchestrated. Yeah, no, we wanted you to we want this Mark Carney guy to be in charge. That is what would make shit worse. That would be like, right now I'm thinking that he's going to show up to the boardrooms and, like, they represent our interests. Maybe he might not. Who knows? Whatever. Whatever. Anyway, whatever, man. Congratulations, Mr. Mark Carney. Even though I have no idea who you are, and all I could do is hope that you don't fuck us over. All right. What the fuck do I know about it? When I think about it, even Trudeau, I didn't know shit about the dude except his daddy's name. But I was willing to give him a chance. But not the same chance I would have given to a woman or a person of color. I'm like, nah, fuck that. No. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's keep a white guy in charge. I'm confessing. Even I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I've been, anyways, conditioned to trust the white man. All right, next clip is, shit, I can talk a lot. Okay, I'm not going to play this clip. Hold on. I'll leave it in the show note. I'm not going to play this clip, but... the link will be in the show notes, and it's the second commentary I saw on this headline that goes, Ben Shapiro calls on Trump to pardon ex-Minneapolis cop Derek Chauvin of federal crimes in George Floyd case. And both commentators, both black, were like, yo, black folks don't fall for this shit. Black people don't fall for this shit. Do not protest over this bullshit. And I 100% agree. I take this, yo, Ben Shapiro, I think even Elon Musk endorsed that thought. But that shit is like rage bait. It's, we need you black folks to get on the street so our cops have a reason to crack your skull and put you in jail and get some free labor out of you. There's like a, So the way I label this shit is, this is one of those cases of, let them show you who they are. Let Ben Shapiro talk to Trump about it. Let's see how far it goes. Let Trump actually fucking do it. But from there, none of y'all can't say shit. But this would be your last confirmation that, fuck that. If he could, he'd put us in shackles. Like, This is if you doubt it, the racism, now's the time to be like, oh, wow. You're not even trying to be strategic in your usage of racism. Jesus Christ, you're like full on burn across. Don't make eye contact with me, Negro, or you'll be hung. He's that guy. There's a weird, I think there's like a weird I'm gonna make a little call to history here. I think about what John Brown from history, Google the name John Brown, how history credits him for, in so many words, throwing the first punch that led to the Civil War in the United States. If it wasn't for him, I think these politicians would be handling slavery or the topic of slavery the same way we're handling Trump. It's like, oh, let's keep it decorum. Let's keep some decorum. Let's vote on this shit. No, there's unfortunate. Again, I'm an anti-war person. But there's some shit that can't be resolved through words. You gotta throw hands. And yeah, man, it's just sorry, where I'm going with this is I think in the United States, one side of the country is being bullied by the other. And the other and was just waiting for someone to be like the other side to be like, nah, fuck that, I'm done. Punch back. But unfortunately, there's no way of punching back without actually punching back, like it turns into without this shit turning into a brawl. Yeah, that's it. That's okay. All right, okay. I'm going to jump to feature thought. Yeah, that's it for feature. Oh, my God. That's it for randomness. Let's jump to some feature thought. And I'm back. Back in black. Back on the attack. Back smoking crap. Oh, that's not true. Today's feature thought on the theme of International Women's Day and belated is, how do I introduce this subject? You know, okay, before I start, I'm going to play this clip before I go with this. I'm going to label this under how I continue to be inspired by brave women.
Congresswoman, Elon and Trump are trying to threaten and intimidate. Are you intimidated?
No.
What's the answer?
Listen, here's the reality. Now, I can't speak for anybody else, but I used to ask myself, if I was a part of the civil rights movement back in the day, what role would I play? Never imagined that I would be able to play this type of role, because we know that they had to fight so that seats like this could exist in the Congress in the first place. So as only the 55th black woman elected to Congress, knowing that people fought for what they could not see, I think that I owe it not only to the generations that came before me, but the generations that are coming behind me. If they could risk their lives, if they could be jailed, if they could be beaten, and do it all for somebody that they never knew would exist, known as Jasmine Crockett, then I can do just a little bit by making sure that I raise my voice. And to be perfectly honest, I know that they all talk about how Christian they are, but I am the child of a preacher, and I am going to say that God has not given me a spirit of fear. So I will not be intimidated. I will not be scared. I know that what I am doing is right. No matter how they try to persecute me, no matter how many lies they put out against me, I will stand strong because I know how I got here, and I know that the generations coming behind me deserve it. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, Congresswoman.
As I continue to be inspired by courageous, strong, intelligent women, I think what fascinates me, like, I remember the first time I started to pay attention on who was, like, during the 2020, there was a lot of uprising, or not a protest in the United States, all of them, and whether it was not just 2020, but whether there was Trayvon Martin, police beating, abuse of power by police, and when I think about all the protests that happened, the responses, And who would consistently be on the front lines? Black women. I remember there was a time, I brought up 2020 because it was in 2020 that I started to notice the consistency of black women being on the forefront of our struggles. And I think a lot about that because I'm a 6 foot tall, 300 pound man. And, you know, for the most part, people are like, ooh, like I can pass for a bouncer. My point is, I've been to these protests and I stayed in the back. Why? Because I was thinking about physical safety. I was thinking about the fact that if I got to run as fat as I am, I'm going to need a head start. I didn't have the same courage they have. I should say shout out to everyone on the front line. You brave souls, but especially shout out to the women. Because they're just thinking about the right thing to do. They're not thinking about, oh shit, I might get hurt. Or they probably are, but they're not to the point that I am. And I started to reflect on the courage that they have, and their motivation was to do the right thing. There's something worth recognizing in that. I think what inspired me in listening to Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, I was worried about messing up her name, Jasmine Crockett, is how the first question Jolly Good Ginger asked the interviewer, he said, that's his name, I'm not being insulting. He said, are you intimidated? And I love the fact, and I love how she responded with no. And it wasn't, no, I'm trying to show you that I'm a tough guy. It's not, fuck them. They're wrong. They're on the wrong side of history. I'm trying to continue the legacy that my ancestors continued. I say all this because, and I'm realizing where all my thoughts are. I'm thinking as I'm speaking. I'm saying this because while listening to, by the way, I'm still reading the book. Actually, let me be honest with you. I'm going through the audiobook of The Impasse Survival Guide by Judith Orloff, MD. And there's at some point, the part I need to be clarified is, I'm still at the intro. I was still at the beginning. I just finished it. Part of it is because the shit she's throwing is heavy, and that I'm realizing like this is not the kind of audiobook that I can simply not focus, put a bit of focus on what she's saying, because she's dropping some jewels, and I need to pay attention and to pace myself more than I've ever had to with any other book. It's to the point that I'm thinking of buying the printed copy and reading along. And anyway, so at some point she uses the word feminine power. And it had me thinking about how I've empowered myself. Okay, this is gonna sound wild. How I've been empowering myself through what's usually considered as women empowerment, or woman empowerment, female empowerment, whatever you want to call it. The same jewels women have been using to empower themselves, to inspire themselves, to learn and all that. If there was a class called Women Empowerment, I'd be the guy sitting by the door, listening in, taking notes. Because one, I acknowledge it's their space, and two, it's their space. Two, usually these traits are treated as are things that women learn, not dudes learn. Not to say that I wouldn't be welcome in the class I mean, maybe some of them are strictly for women, but some of them are. Some of them would probably be vegan. Hey, come on in. How big to the point? I'm realizing that. Here's the point. Okay, I'm going all around, and this is the point I'm going to try to make, and then I'm like, okay. The final point is, we as a society are not going to go anywhere if we don't embrace feminine traits as human traits. If we continue to make that distinction, I mean, if you want to call it feminine energy and all that, but the whole, if you're a man and you have a whole bunch of traits that's usually and we still associate it to femininity, or not just associated to feminine. Okay, think this through. Feminine traits are human traits, period. Female empowerment is empowerment. Should be empowerment. I'm trying to say, this is my history. I remember the first time I went into therapy, and my therapist at the time was going for a book to teach me to read something about relationship. And I remember the author was a woman. I'm like, what the fuck? I actually said that, you know, again, this is during my unenlightened days. I'm like, what the fuck? What's with all these chick? I think I may have used the word, what's with all these chick books and stuff like that? And I can't remember if she laughed, but she was like, you got a lot of work to do, son. But but there was a time where she joked about, yes, I'm going to read another from another chick book. But realizing that part of my healing process, part of my journey to being more authentic, the relied on came from women, high scholars. It's the minute I was finally able to be like, okay, men read from these books, women read from those books. The minute I stopped doing that, my growth started. I remember, okay, I was having a conversation with an associate at the time, and we were on the verge, this is, again, pre-enlightenment days, and having the realization that I could not name, how we couldn't name a single woman that we had respect for. Now, revered. Revered like a Bill Gates, like a at the time, Steve Jobs, Tiger Woods. We couldn't name a single woman that, everyone, we could tell who we thought was hot, but we couldn't think of anyone who we revered for their intellect, for their sporting ability, and whatnot. We weren't cured, but we just realized that, is it weird the fact that we can't do that? But that planted a seed in my mind. It planted a seed in my mind and later grew into realizing I had work to do. One and very enlightening quote, I'm not going to read the whole article, but I am going to read he's a very well-known quote. It goes, the story of all right, fine, I'll read it. It goes, the story of, okay, goats, goats, Gates, women key to Saudi Arabia's economy. And this is a Saturday, January 7, 2007 article. It's archived for Washington Post. Bill Gates cited Saudi Arabia as an example Saturday of why he believes limiting the rights women can hinder economic growth. During a meeting on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum, Gates described speaking to a segregated audience at a recent business seminar in Saudi Arabia. On one side of the auditorium sat men. On the other side of a large partition was a sea of black, Gates said, women in full-length abayas that cover their faces as required in Saudi Arabia. As a questioner asked if he thought Saudi Arabia could meet its ambitious goal of becoming one of the world's most competitive economies in by 2010, Gates said, "I said, well, if you're not fully utilizing half the talent in the country, you're not going to get too close to the top," Gates said. I won't read the how did the audience react? He goes, one side loved it, Gates quipped. I remember reading that because it was a beam at the time and realized I'm like, it's like brain patterns started to form. It's like my brain started to, it's like, oh, wait a minute. It's as if I was finally recognizing the humanity of women. It's like I was unlearning. I was slowly unlearning what I was taught. Yeah, what I was told about women and their ability to contribute. See, what people don't get from this whole DEI shit, it's not just, oh, because we want a woman or a black person or whatever sitting in front. No, we want to find another Melinda Gates. We want to find another Michelle Obama. We want to find another, I don't know, who do you... Harriet Tubman, like, throw in who do you believe? Oh, what's that? Okay, I don't like her very much, but she is revered by some. Margaret Thatcher, is that her name? I don't like this chick, but capitalists love her. But my point is talent, recognizing the talent. All right. So while focusing on the word feminine power. I found myself thinking, how would I explain feminine power to my younger, uneducated self? And the reason why I had that thought exercise is because I joked a lot about how my younger self, if he saw me, he'd be so disappointed in who I am. And I laugh at it. You know, I just laugh it off. And then... after reflecting on the concept of feminine power, it hit me. I'm like, fuck that little nigga. I never had no, but if I were to meet him and he would express disappointment, I would flip the script on him and say, nah, little nigga, you're the disappointment. You're the one who's not acting right. And this is why. And this is why you get no bitches. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, so that's what that thought exercise would be. So I guess if I were to try to explain the concept, the value of feminine power to my younger self, I mean, I was discussing with a friend. Okay, step one would be to get him to understand, to reevaluate or think about or unlearn what you currently know about power. Being Tony Soprano is not power. He doesn't exist. He's not realistic. There's no power in being who you're not. I think I would try to explain how I learned to find empowerment in being authentic. I'll try to use this example. I'm thinking of Pierre Poilievre. One thing that works with him is he reeks insecurity. Don't know the dude personally, like Mark Carney, but the image that he presented is like, I'm a man's man. And dude, you're not. Dude, you're not. You hang around with dudes that make you look like whatever, but you ain't. And the worst thing about Pierre Poilievre is the more he plays the game of, all right, I'm going to convince y'all that I'm a man's man. I'm going to fuck this dude up. it makes him look even weaker. I think of the character Tyrion in the Game of Thrones. What made him a powerful character is how he embraced He embraced everything about him. And it's like, know thyself. He talks about it. He goes, what's that quote by Tyrion? It goes, never forget what you are. The rest of the world will not wear it like an armor, and it can never be used to hurt you. To me, that's another statement about being more authentic. About being an authentic soul. How finding empowerment in that shit. If you're not a tough guy, don't be a tough guy. Work with what you got, pretty much. Again, this thought was inspired while going through the book, the intro of the first chapter of The Empath Survival Guide. And there's a part where she kept talking about how, the challenges of being an empath and a man and how we go through these. We're surrounded by people who are like, yo, be a tougher skin. I mean, like, yo, you're violating our understanding, the definition of what it means to be a real man. Like, something is wrong with you. And I'm listening to this woman teach, break it down. It's like, no, dude, embrace it. Maybe that's why I have such a high regard for women, is because they're the only ones so far. I'm sure there are out there. Okay. I'm sure there are out there. I mean, there are men who might be able to step up to the plate. But so far, in my experience, in my existence, it's mainly been women who've encouraged me to be my authentic self. The fellas, it's like, nah. Again, sure, probably meeting all the wrong fellas. But in my experience, when I think of the concept of the warm faces, the warm voices of, nah, be your true self. It's been women. Sure, I've got my fair shield of, oh, you ain't no real man. You know what I mean? But they were toxic. So as I'm listening to this woman talk about how embrace the fact that you're an empath, I was also enjoying how she kept saying how the world needs us. We represent the next level of consciousness for human being. Is his name Tim Patton, the comedian? Let me make sure I get his name right. Tim Patton. Time. No, not Time Patton. Tim, god damn it. Tim Patton. No, that's not him. Comedian. What the fuck's his name? Oh, Patton Oswalt. Jesus. I love how Google, from my mistake, knows what. Anyway, Patton Oswalt has this joke about how before Jesus, okay, it's a joke, and I'm going to butcher the joke, but the point he was making is how before Jesus, the concept of love thyself, love others like you. Oh my God. Love your neighbor. Love thy neighbor like you love yourself. Before that, that was some punk shit. No one saw that work. Like, that was considered some revolutionary way of dealing with people. And he talks about how through that raised the level of consciousness for human beings. Martin Luther King showed up to the scene with his nonviolent approaches. I mean, him and Gandhi. That was raising the next level. Empathy. Shit like, I think it's called Ubuntu, is encouraging shit like, let's work as a community. Let's, you know, sure, you can get there quicker by yourself, but we can get further all together. Is that the same? But whatever. Okay, let me try to wrap up what I'm saying. I'm going to play this clip by Neil deGrasse Tyson, and I'm going to kind of summarize where I want to go with this speech, this talk about feminine power.
if there's intelligent life everywhere, presumably they might have figured out how to travel through the galaxy and get wormholes, whatever. And they, why aren't they here? Why haven't they visited us? Why haven't they taken over the galaxy? One argument is that the very behavior trait that would have you want to acquire territory is intrinsically self-destructive. Because to want to say, I want to put my people in more places in the galaxy, well, if that's the attitude your species has, then other people that you put there are going to have that very same attitude. And they're going to want to do what you're doing. And you know what happens? You're going to end up fighting about it. And so it may be that the very character trait that would have you take over the galaxy and visit every planet is the one that would prevent you from getting there, because you would have killed each other in the act of trying to make that happen.
What I like about his ideal is that thought is, and this is why I wrote, we aren't going to get anywhere until we embrace feminine traits as human traits. Female empowerment as strictly empowerment. I don't have to, shouldn't have to think about, I mean, whatever. People are going to hate, whatever. Embrace it. I guess people like me need to more embrace their traits, regardless. It's considered, you know, oh, no, these are feminine traits. You have a penis. You shouldn't have stuff like that. Empathy, what the fuck's wrong with you? I have this joke about how, what I like about Star Trek as a concept is how, in order for humankind to get to that level, it's not said, or probably isn't, but we thought that, oh, we just need to get smarter and then we'll develop warp drive. I think being kinder would also allow us to make technological advances. And part of that kindness would be also embracing the other half of the population and their worldviews and their way of doing things. Because this whole dog eat dog, I'm first, fuck them other niggas because I'll die for, like, is limiting. It's not sustaining. There's apparently Elon Musk said some dumb shit about how empathy is a weakness. Empathy is, fuck him, Mr. Billionaire. I mean, my parents came from a country where, you know, well, a lot of us were parents who came from a country that underdeveloped or they were poor or whatever. And they had you couldn't get anywhere unless you worked as a community. You had to embrace that shit. And this is where it comes from. It goes back to the idea of letting women run things. And when we say women, their way of collaboration and cooperation and hearing of, I was listening to this webinar for International Women's Day, and they had five women speak, and the ideas they were sharing amongst each other about leadership, about management, were like powerful. And I was like, goddamn shame that I can't explain this to my male colleagues. Because I'm sure a lot of them are just dismissing this shit as nothing. But they were saying some smart shit. One of them was explaining a story about how she was working for an organization. And she was like high up. And she gets a phone call about a crisis going on at work. And I don't know if it was in the middle of the night, but it was like, or outside of business hour. But they called her to say, hey, we need you in the office now to deal with this problem. Yada, yada, yada. And her first thought was, okay, cool. What's the problem? And the asshole on the other line was like, hey, bitch, I'm paraphrasing. She didn't say that, but bitch, when we tell you to jump, you fucking jump. Just get your ass in the office. And blah, 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 blah. And in her mind is, I'm trying to fix the fucking problem. But in order for me to fix it, I need to know what the fuck it is. And what I'm saying is, a lot of people would just be like, yeah, right on, sir. Amen. You know, 10-4 on the way. But doing shit like, okay, you need a solution? What's the problem? Tell me. Communication. Use your words, dummy. And it was just, to me, it was some common sense shit. But it would take a woman to be like, hey, to apply this common sense, to think, wait, why didn't we think about that? I'm actually in a position of being a supervisor, and a lot of my success stories, or if I'm doing well, is because I apply a lot of traits that's usually associated as a feminine trait. Collaboration, understanding, listening with purpose. Not treating everything like a dick swinging contest. You know, it's... Anyways, I think I'm just going to wrap this up with shout out to... Happy International Women's Day. Oh, excuse me. Happy belated International Women's Day. And I guess continue to be inspiring. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, I ain't got anything trying to say something wise to say, but yeah. Please continue to be inspiring and fellas, stop being assholes. That's really how I'm going to sum it up. Because or else, can you imagine that? I don't see us getting past. If we continue to talk the way we talk, do think the way we think, fuck that. Let's just embrace the end of the world because we're going to fuck it up. All right. Quick shout out is while listening to the book Survival Guide for an Empath, the author talked about the song Jewel, the song I'm Sensitive by the singer Jewel, and shit nearly made me cry. But all this to say, the line where she says, I'm sensitive and I'd like to stay that way, that's what inspired today's title. The idea of I'd like to stay that way. It's also me rebuking my younger self, talking shit about it. Again, I'm having conversation with my younger self, and him looking down at me, and then me having to kick his ass for not recognizing that I could still, he is kind of younger. Nah, I'd fuck him up. I'd still fuck him up. All right. This concludes today's episode. Fuck Daylight Savings Time. Again, website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I wrap up the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Couche bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This podcast is rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.